Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of your favorite movies and shows. We focus on representation and the voices that are ignored.
Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds. My name is Lee, a.k.a. Watch Me Lee, and I'm here my boy, Jack.
We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, a.k.a. Watch With Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host Jeff, a.k.a. DJ Tangerine.
DJ Tangerine. Is yes, it because of the tangerine trees?
Yeah, because of the tangerine trees, man. Yo, what's the difference between a tangerine and an orange? I have no idea.
I have no idea either, man. I'm asking sweeter. Important questions.
One is sweeter, Jazz? I mean, Skeev, is that what you said?
Yes.
Which one is sweeter, the orange or the tangerine?
Tangerine.
Really? I thought the tangerine would be tangy. Get it? Tang? Tangerine? I don't know.
What do you know? That's oranges true. Are larger and more tartar, and then tangerines are smaller and sweeter.
Interesting. Well, listen, we have to introduce our guest Skeeb, who is been on every single episode of One Piece and is the reason we haven't had the final episode for like 3 weeks now, because he's so damn popular that he's traveled around the world throwing parties and finally had some time for us.
Yep. I also bring the hat that Luffy placed on Nami's head.
Nice. Very cool.
That's
very cool.
That final episode.
Love it. Love to see it. All right. So when we left off the last episode, we had the iconic scene where Nami is like, Luffy, help me. And he goes, I will help you. And then they do that walk to Arlong Park. Badass. We were loving it. Super cool, and that got us ready for this episode. So let's get into it, man. How did you feel about this episode, this finale? Because this is the thing. Like the entire season has been pretty good, but if the finale sucked, then like the whole show would have sucked. They had to have, you know, make it land. They had to land it, and I personally feel like they landed it. What about you guys?
Skeeb, go first.
Yeah, I think the entire time I was really excited. I think they nailed the walk to it leading up to the final episode. And just watching the final episode, I was really excited. They got the fight scenes done. They got everything that you needed to do. Choreography was great. Character dialogue was great. And the ending is a tearjerker nonetheless.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really cool. Jazz, what about you?
Okay, so I know you and I have talked about this, but I was really hoping for Lockdown.
Oh, for Lockdown? Yeah. That's the one part that didn't happen. But I kind of understand. Like, I love the way this arc ended, and it felt very complete, even if they didn't use Lockdown, which I think they originally planned and then scaled it back.
Yeah, I blame Netflix for the 8-episode thing, because really, if they had 10 episodes, they could have done it, and it would have been magical. But Netflix, you know, budgets, blah, 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 whatever they do, they took that away from us, and Lockdown was so pivotal. We got introduced to two incredibly important characters who I'm not going to spoil today, but I do wish they did that. Aside from that, yes, it was fantastic. But
I'm not mad at that, because Lockdown is still coming, right? It's not like it's not going to come. It's just in a different season.
I felt like the ending of this one would have been more impactful after Lockdown.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. Really, it's not like anything against it. It's like, it's not bad, but it could have been so much more.
All right, that's fair, fair. It was a choice. Someone just mentioned in the comment, it's a choice to pivot with Garp over Lockdown, and it's very interesting. Yeah, I totally agree with Jumpy McSpasm, which is our only follower on Twitch. We don't have a lot of Twitch followers. I need to promote Twitch a lot more. Everyone's usually from YouTube. But yes, we are also on Twitch, guys, if you don't know. I think we only got on Twitch like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, and we haven't promoted it at all. So it's interesting seeing like people jumping on it. So that's nice.
I know. It was our homie Ruby who got us onto Twitch. So she's the master. All right. So over here, we're talking about Arlong Park. We see a little bit more of Arlong. I really love the depth they went into Arlong, because in the original anime, they do not go into the whole situation of the fishman being discriminated against. And in here, they definitely go into that early. And the fact that they have a black man playing Arlong is not a coincidence. I think they did that very intentionally, which just gave layers to the character. And I was just like, this is so well done. And I was like, this is better than the anime, because I didn't know that this was the reason Arlong felt this way, that the fishmen have been discriminated against and sold into slavery and all this stuff happens. I didn't know any of this because you don't learn about it in the anime until much, much later. I thought that was fantastic. I love that they gave Arlong this backstory early, and it made his character a little bit better, where I always say, like, sometimes a character just needs a backstory and a Killmonger speech. That's all you need to make a good villain. And he got his little Killmonger speech. He got his little backstory. And I really liked Arlong in this episode more than I did in the anime. Skeeb, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I actually 100% agree with you. I think giving him that pivotal backstory that he had gave him that really good character development. And it did tie in with a lot of like American history of everything from that on, discrimination, all that stuff. And it really gave him a sort of voice. But yes, he is considered like a villain. But if you think of it from his perspective, is he the villain, or is right. he just finding justice in his own ways?
Yeah, every good villain is a hero in his own mind, right? So I totally agree with that. Jazz, what about you?
Yo, I will agree with you that Arlong is better in the live action than in the anime or manga. Because I remember when I watched One Piece when I was like, 14 when this came out, or on Toonami it did. When I watched Arlong, I just hated him, right? And I could not stand him. I didn't see his side at all. But I don't know if it's because I'm older or if it's because they just did it better. Seeing it now, I'm just like, oh, I kind of like this. What? No, I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this. Like, it was funny. I had like conflicted emotions. And that's really the key of a fantastic villain, is like when you are yourself conflicted.
Yeah, totally get it. Totally get that. All right. But Arlong is still very ruthless, right? Like the way he treats Nami, the way he treats the villagers, he's like, I'm going to burn this entire village down. Like, he is still a ruthless person, right? So what makes a good villain is that, yeah, they might have good intentions, but they have horrible means of getting to those intentions, right? Horrible, horrible means. That's what makes a good villain. So I was really, really impressed with that. We also get to see that Nami has a fishman symbol tattoo, which, you know, kind of gave like this indication that she has always been part of this crew. She's been there forever. So I thought that was really, really cool. What are your thoughts about Nami and her situation at this point? Because she ends up stabbing that tattoo because she hates it so much, which is a very, you know, important scene in the anime.
I would say the live action did it justice. You know, the anime clearly had a lot more blood flowing down her arm and whatnot, and they couldn't show that on this show.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact that they really focus on that tattoo showed the importance of it. Like, yeah, I'm just so happy they kept that in here, because this was a scene that got me hooked on One Piece. Mm-hmm. And Neebs, if you recall correctly, before you got started on the anime, I told you, just get through 44 episodes, right? That's all you need. And episode 44 is where this happened. So the fact that they kept it, amazing.
I really feel like the anime is easier to watch after you watch the Netflix show. Like, I don't know. It just feels like you kind of get connected to the characters a lot faster. Whereas in the anime, it took me so long to like Usopp. I did not like Usopp for the longest. And now he's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Yes, Nami crying, screaming, tossing dirt at Luffy. Yes, great scene. Love that. Yeah, all right.
This was so, this is Paul Rudd's daughter, right?
No, Emily I looked Rudd. Into that. It's Emily Rudd, but she's not related to Paul Rudd. That we thought it. I think oh. We mentioned it in a podcast. No relation. There's absolutely no relation.
They just have the same last name. That's funny.
Yeah. I thought it was too, and I was like, she looks so old to be Paul Rudd's daughter. But then I'm like, it is Paul Rudd, and he doesn't age. So maybe if it was believable for any person, it would be Paul Rudd, right? Because he doesn't age. But no relation.
That's funny.
All right, so now the Straw Hat Gang are about to fight the Fishmen. And Arlong has all these weapons, and he's super strong, and he's got these guys with him. And then we see that Usopp just runs away. And I'm like, okay, you know, classic Usopp, scaredy cat. But you know he's got something up his sleeve. And he ends up fighting this Fishman who knows Fishman karate, and he ends up beating him. And he uses, like, all these tricks that he has with his like little pellets and stuff, and I think he even uses ketchup to fake them out. What did you guys think of Usopp's fight?
Skeeb, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Usopp isn't the strongest character in the One Piece world at this moment, and also what is he going to do against a person that can, you know, basically take their fist and break 100 bricks at once? He has to use every trick he has against his sleeve. And like we said, he played like the dead possum. He used like a fake ketchup to psych out the fishman right away.
Yeah, that was really, really great. And he actually wins the fight, and he goes like, I don't think anybody will believe me that he won the fight. Because he lies so much. He's the boy who cried wolf. But he actually beat a fishman, and now like no one's going to believe him.
Which he was smart, because the fishman was using alcohol to make these water pellets to like shoot at Usopp.
But, yeah,
Usopp, you know, used that against him. He used his like fireball little like from his slingshot, threw like a little fire at him, and then it basically made the chain reaction. Had the alcohol explode in the fishman's mouth, and that's how he won.
Yeah, I love that they use a little bit of science to show you how like they could win over someone who's stronger than them. That was really, really cool. Another fight that's happening is Luffy and Arlong, and there's a scene where like Luffy punches him in the face, all his teeth get knocked out, and then they slowly grow back, because you know that's what happens with sharks grow their teeth back like that. I thought that was really, really cool. What did you think of the beginning of the fight between Arlong and Luffy, where Luffy looks at the, you know, place where Nami was basically held prisoner, and he gets like madder and madder when he like sees this?
Yo, they nailed this scene. Mm-hmm. Like, when you see like where someone was held captive, you're supposed to have a visceral like hatred toward it, and you saw the look on Luffy's face, like, I'm gonna tear this place down brick by brick if I have to. And my god, did they deliver. This was such a good scene, showing all that emotion all at once. I was in awe, like, just watching it.
They just picked the greatest actor to play Luffy, because he has that silliness, but then he also has that, I'm a little psycho, so don't fuck with me.
Which is perfect for Luffy. That's exactly what he is.
I know, because Luffy goes psycho sometimes, so he's serious. Definitely love that. And then outside, fucking Sanji and Zoro are fighting, and they're kind of like keeping track of like who's fighting and who's doing better. And Sanji's calling out all his moves and he goes to Zoro. All great fighters call out their moves, which is really funny, because Zoro is very much known later in the series to call out all his moves, which is really, really funny. What did you think the whole back and forth between Zoro and Sanji and them fighting everybody, Skeep?
I mean, I loved it. It's just them bickering at each other, but they're in the middle of a serious fight. But they're just fighting against each other in a sense, like with their verbal words. But I really enjoyed that part. It was very comedic, and I loved it.
Yeah, I feel like they have great chemistry, and it very much felt like the anime, the same type of relationship that they had there.
It's the birth of a fantastic rivalry, which, you know, you do see in the anime progress over the 1,000 episodes that we're at now. But seeing it like in live action too, it's like, yes, whoever wrote One Piece did their homework. They knew what was important and they kept it going.
Yeah, like you could tell this is a love letter to the fans, because the people who wrote this script and adapted it for a live action television loved One Piece because they kept the heart of One Piece in it. And I definitely agree with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So Luffy ends up destroying this entire map room with his battle axe and, you know, just tearing shit up. I thought that was really, really good. He does the Gum Gum battle axe and he basically saves the day. What are your thoughts about Luffy at the end of the fight and just winning it and kicking everybody's ass and just having this whole Arlong Park just come down and be totally trashed?
It shows his strive to become the king of the pirates, because he can't lose battles against enemies. And so being able to beat Arlong at his own home turf shows that he means business. And I really enjoyed that. They did a really good job recreating the scene with like you're saying, the battle axe, where he basically takes his foot all the way up, hits it through the ceiling and brings it back down, crushing the entire structure of Arlong Park, where they're both tumbled in the rubbles. But in the anime, in the early 90s version, you saw this happening, but they also did a remake. They remastered it, made a little bit better animation, and it's like quicker fights, better style. And it also does the same thing. So it gives you a really good gist of like, yeah, Luffy really did it. And then this one did a really good job immaculating all that together. And I feel like at the end, they were kind of sad. They thought Luffy died. They're like, oh, Luffy's under the rubble. But he comes back, emerged the victor.
Yeah. And speaking of Luffy dying, there is a big scene that they took out completely from the anime, which is where Arlong kind of just throws Luffy into the ocean and they have to kind of try and save him. And then the problem is the fishmen are strong as hell, but that's in land. In water, they're even stronger, right? And faster and quicker. So they had no chance. And Luffy was like dying. So since they couldn't save Luffy, what they did was they took his head and stretched it all the way out so he can get some air.
Remember that, yes.
I could see that being a little silly in the special effects, but I don't know. I kind of missed that. I really like that whole part of them trying to save Luffy, because he is the most badass of all of them. And he's the one who fights the main bad guy. But he's also incapacitated for half the fight, which is really interesting.
So I do miss it as well, but also I'm trying to think like of the VFX budget and all this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm mad they didn't give the episodes when it comes to budgeting, but when it comes to this kind of thing, I'm like, all right, you know what? One Piece is a silly show. Ultimately, it's a cartoon where things can really be stretched to their limits when it comes to imagination. And in the live action, it may not translate as well. Would I've liked to see it? Yes, but you know, we don't live in that perfect world. So this was fine for now. I'm okay with it.
To be honest, a lot of things I thought would not translate well ended up translating pretty okay. Like the whole thing where he blows up like a balloon and repels a cannon. I thought that was just silly. I thought there's no way they would do that. And then when they did it, I'm like, oh shit, they pulled that off.
Yeah.
Physics.
Yeah. Physics. All right, so after they beat Arlong, we find that Kobe shows up, and he is there, and he finds the gang, and Luffy meets Garp, which is his grandfather, and they have a little bit of back and forth, and after we see like Luffy's grandfather try to drown him, he's a little bit more, I guess, I don't know, accepting of his shenanigans here. What were your thoughts about Luffy and Garp meeting up here? Because in the anime, they don't meet up till much, much later. And it's not known to people that that's his grandfather until much, much later. So a lot of this is sped up. What are your thoughts about that, Skeeb?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good take from the producers, executive producers and everyone, to put their own spin on it and not kind of segue a little bit away from the anime and the manga. The way they did it is like they did have to have this whole storyline of Garp and his kind of his journey to what he's going to do in the entire season. So for this, it was his kind of like a retribution, or like in a sense, him teaching Luffy to make sure that he doesn't let his guard down, in a sense, because no matter who he fights, it's always going to be stronger enemies. And I think Garp did show that by trying to beat him to death, essentially, and show him that you can't win every fight unless you're like really serious. And at the end, which I really liked, they both laugh it out. And Ichioda does a really good thing of having characters do the thing where they have their own signature laugh. And I think laughing is a really important piece in the One Piece lore. So that's something you have to keep in mind throughout future generations. And so that's kind of a subtle thing that I keep in mind too, is like, oh, everyone's laugh is different, but why do everyone in the series has a different laugh? That's something I just enjoyed. But yes, overall, pivotally, it just shows that they can come to this sort of conclusion that Luffy should not let his guard down at any moment.
Very true. Jazz, what about you?
I'm biased against it because like I did want to see where they actually did introduce Garp the way they did in the anime. But then I'm like, wait a second. This is a live action. This is not just for our anime fans. And people would be so confused about why they showed this character in the beginning and didn't do anything with him later on. And so, because, you know, in the anime, like, it was, what, like, 300-some-odd episodes in between seeing Garp?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we never questioned it because, you know, when I was watching it, I was a kid. I was like, yeah, cool. That's a character. I never really thought about, it, like, One Piece critically when I was younger. And now, looking at the live action, I'm like, okay, no, this makes sense. I still don't like it because I'm biased. But yes, I get why they did it. And yes, Garp being the proud grandpa, like, you know, I want you to be a Marine, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to, like, train you. I'm going to, like, almost kill you because I want you to be the best Marine ever. Mm-hmm. And then even after all of that, he's just like, you're strong. I love it. Like, I hate what you're doing, but I still love you, and I'm still secretly proud of you a bit. And it was just cute seeing that come through.
Yeah. I like this comment right here where it says, it's kind of cool to see the perspective of the Navy. Let's see. Did this show up? Why does it not show up? It's kind of cool because we are getting the Navy's perspective alongside with Luffy, which is really cool because I feel like Kobe is such a great character, and in the anime we don't see him for a long time, and he kind of has a little bit of a glow up, whereas this, we're kind of just finding him as he goes along, and we get to kind of see all of his like trials and tribulations, you know. And I like that. I feel like he's almost as big of a character as Luffy, almost, in terms of like what's happening in the show, because they're basically two sides of the same coin. Is basically the Navy's perspective, and then there's the pirate's perspective, but they're both good people. And I think that's very interesting because, you know, pirates can be evil, as we know from the show, but then the Navy can also be corrupt, and the world government could be part of these rules and stuff like that to control people and chain people, and some of these laws are unjust. So I think it's really cool that we're getting to see them in the beginning and the morality of it all. What are your thoughts about Kobe?
You know, and now that you see him early? Yeah, now that you put it this way, given what we kind of sort of know that's hinting about Kobe and how important he is in the anime, like, I'm fully caught up, right? Kobe does, you know, make one hell of a splash where I am right now, or it could be the manga. I'm not going to give away what it was and what happened, but if now that I'm thinking about it, like, if they're going to bring Kobe and Garp this early in to show their journey, then Kobe's gonna be one hell of a character in the anime sooner or later, and much more than we're currently seeing in the anime or the manga. And so I guess the way I'm seeing it now, it's like, if One Piece does follow along and they finish around the same time, having them introduced earlier is probably a much better thing than I'm giving it credit for. So, yes, now that you stated it the way you said it, or the way even Jumpy in our comments said it, I'm actually very glad that they introduced Kobe and Garp so early.
I can see that. Skeeb, what about you?
Change it up. They have so many other characters in the One Piece world to also introduce. So how do you give everyone the limelight? How do you give them all, you know, their segments of time in the series? What I'm saying is that maybe in like the next couple arcs, which, you know, Alabasta, Thriller Bark, et cetera, you might have different character developments of different characters, maybe the same journey line, like the yin and yang that we said it with Luffy and Kobe, maybe at a different perspective. So maybe they'll all come back at the end, like at a certain point where everyone from each season kind of has this like journey with Luffy and they all come together at a certain part of the season.
Very cool. Yeah, I could see that happening. The other thing is
like Avengers.
Yeah, like Avengers
assembles at the end.
That's true. Also, they end up kind of convincing Nami to come with them. And one of the cool things that they do at the gesture is they bring on the tangerine trees into the boat and the Going Merry, which is really, really cool. It looks a lot different in the cartoon, I mean, in the anime, than it does in real life, but I like that they still be able to capture the essence of it. So I thought that was really cool. What do you guys think about the whole tangerine thing and the Going Merry?
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they have a piece of Nami's history inside of it. Sanji can cook on the ship. Zoro can do whatever he wants. Usopp can man the cannons. Everyone has a piece of themselves on the ship. And then also, I want to reinstate what I had said earlier, where Zoro was the second person recruited. Sanji was third?
Yeah.
No, second. No, sorry. Zoro was first, then it was Usopp, then it was Sanji, which San means three, and then Nami. And then
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You said that, I remember you mentioned that in the last one. But I wanted to go back to my comment about the tangerine. So one of the things that people don't know is that pirates would often get something called scurvy on ships. And citrus is the cure for scurvy, which is probably why they have tangerines on the ship. It's actually
That's
for
so
pirates.
Smart.
It would be, yeah, for pirates, it would be the most important thing to have on a thing. And I know this because, like, when I went to when I was on a cruise ship to Antarctica, they had stories about how they would bring these like oranges and stuff on the ship. Oranges, limes, anything with citrus would help cure people of scurvy. So the tangerine tree has another significance to that because it's something that pirates often did. They used to carry citrus with them.
That is so smart. I never thought of that. Like, brilliant. Yeah. I love it.
So cool. All right. So Kobe comes in and he shows Luffy his very own wanted poster, which is really cool because wanted posters are a big deal in the One Piece world. And he has a $30 million berry, which is a huge wanted, whatchamacallit, number for a first-time pirate. So that's really cool. And then you get a little bit of the back of Usopp's head in the picture too, which I thought is really, really cool. It's super accurate to the anime. And then you see all the cool people from their past. They see the poster. They see the bartender sees it. Mihawk sees it. Shank sees it. Zeff sees it. Buggy sees it. All these people see it, and it's super, super cool. The girl from Usopp's village also sees it, and I just really love that. Like, they showed like it all coming back together, and they're like, "Oh, they finally made it!" And I thought that was really, really cool. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
They made it. It's official. They're pirates.
Yeah, they're pirates.
You know, wanted posters are a source of pride among pirates. Like, I can do this much damage. This is how strong I am. And, you know, Luffy's just like, oh, I'm freeing people and having a great time. And now they want to take me away. Like, it's just so cool seeing that dynamic and then seeing how proud he is of his wanted poster. Like, even though he's not like trying to show off his strength, he's just so prideful and like, or so proud, not prideful. He doesn't actually exactly have pride. He's very proud of like what he's accomplishing and what his crew can accomplish. So it's cool to see that. And that's what a good leader should do.
Yeah. Yeah. Ski, what about you?
Yeah, I also enjoyed it. 30 million berries, right? And being the highest in the East Blue, basically beating Buggy and Arlong and everyone else. So I think it's well-deserved, and it's a good Easter egg.
Very cool. Speaking of Buggy, Buggy's in this episode a little bit too. He gets his body back, and then he jumps back and forth a little bit, does a little bit of damage, and then he kind of just gets away. And then at the very end, we see Buggy with Alvida, which also happens in the anime, But like it happens in like one random episode in like the 100 episodes, and then you don't hear from them again until like 400 episodes later. Like I, like they showed one episode about that, and then I have not seen them since, and I'm at 100, like I'm at 414. Does that pay off?
Catch up.
Is what I'm asking.
Catch up. Catch up. That's all I'm gonna
I
say.
I can't catch up. Netflix doesn't have any more episodes. They stop at the Lily Island.
Just watch it in Japanese. It's fine.
What do you mean watch it in Japanese? They don't have the Japanese version in Netflix.
Oh, fine. We'll get you one of our Crunchyrolls because I know Skeeb and I both have accounts.
Give me a Crunchyroll account. God damn it.
What the other industry?
Or why don't you could be really on brand. You could pirate it.
Pirate the pirate show. That does make a lot of sense.
Oh, just man. Kidding. Support the official release. We love One Piece. We want them to make their money.
Yes, yes. Also, one thing I noticed in the anime, Alvida eats a devil fruit and becomes super hot and skinny. And in here, they did not do that. And I wonder, is it because she has not had the devil fruit yet, or they're not going that route?
No, she doesn't have it yet. It's a smooth fruit, and she basically becomes smoother, and hence that's where she gets smoother hips and stuff, and skinnier waist. But that's a little later. That's in the 100 episodes that you were saying. She doesn't get in the East Blue area. She goes after.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I thought so, because when she meets Buggy, that's when she has it. But in this point, I guess they met a little bit earlier than that. So I guess that would make sense. Yeah. All right. And then after this, they do this iconic scene where they go onto the Jolly Roger and there's a barrel and they all scream out what they want to be and what they want to do. And it's just this amazing scene in the anime, and they were able to recreate it. I thought they did a really good job. What are your thoughts on that?
They did hold up to what the anime was. It was so good. Like shot for shot, they did it. I'm very happy about it.
Yeah. What with everybody's things? I think Luffy wants to be the king of the pirates.
Yes.
Nami wants to map the entire world.
Correct.
Zoro wants to be the world's greatest swordsman.
Yes.
And then Sanji wants to see the All Blue.
Find the All Blue.
Find the All Blue. And then Usopp just wants to be a brave warrior.
Correct. And you got it.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. And so far, the only one I think has actually done what they were trying to do would be Usopp, because I feel like Usopp's the only thing. Like, everyone else has a thing that you can, it's tangible. You can become the king of the pirate once you get the One Piece. You can become the greatest swordsman once you beat Mihawk. You can find the All Blue once you find the All Blue. You can map the entire world once you map the entire Blue. But the only person that could tell you that you're a brave warrior is yourself. So I feel like Usopp has probably the most interesting goal. And I feel like in my case, when I've seen so far, Usopp's already done that. He is a brave person. And especially even in this, even in this one where he fights the fishman, I think he's a brave person. So I just think it's really interesting how everyone has a tangible goal, whereas like Usopp's has a goal which is a little bit intangible. I don't know. What do you guys, have any thoughts on that?
You're in for a treat, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
It gets better.
Yeah, it does get better. You're thinking of it a little differently. Just you wait.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I will wait. All right.
You're not hitting me in the nose. Just kidding.
Oh. All right. Nobody tell me. I don't want to know. Damn. Everyone in the comments like, you need to catch up. Okay. I do need to catch up. Somebody give me their Crunchyroll password. Tell me right now on live in the air so that the rest of the entire world has it.
Everyone's using our one Crunchyroll account.
Dad, should I tell them what our password is, though?
No. Not yet.
Okay. I'm not telling what it is. I'm just telling what's it about.
Okay. What's it about? Yes, do that.
What is it about?
It's the name of three of us together. That's all I'm going to say. It's the name of us three.
Wait, me included?
No. We can change it to you included.
Who's us three?
It's me. It's Jazz, Atif. Another friend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you gotta say it like that. Like I'm like you got to. When you say three, I felt included. Now I feel bad.
No. You're gonna be our fourth amigo once you catch up. It'll be fine.
So we gotta get him like, on.
Who's this person? Are they talking about me? Is it me? Am I the drama? No.
You're almost there, man.
That's cool. Yeah, man. Anything else before we go? Anything we didn't cover from this episode or this season? Anything else that we didn't talk about?
Not that I can think of, because they're doing things ahead of the anime. And so I feel like we hit all those points.
We didn't talk about the end
credits.
It was
good. Oh, the end credit scene. Yes. I actually missed the first time around.
Wait, what was the end credit scene? I don't think I wrote that down.
What? You guys didn't watch the end credits?
I mean, I watched it after. Once you told me about it. I didn't watch it initially.
After the end credits, the scene pans into a smoky room, and we kind of get a hint of who we think it is. And it's only a person with white hair, and it's the back of a chair. And there's two cigars in this person's hand, and he takes the wanted poster, and he burns it, and it turns into ash.
It was such a cool scene. Yes. He's like... I'm so hyped.
So Logtown is definitely coming. And then I think Alabasta is going to definitely come. Alabasta. Alabasta. Do you think it's going to stop there? Or do you think they might go even a little further? I feel like it'll probably just be those two arcs.
Well, they still have to do Reverse Mountain where they go into the... I forgot if Lotan was before Reverse Mountain. Because
it
was.
No, it's after.
Logtown is in the East Blue, is it not?
Yeah, so it's Logtown, then Reverse Mountain, and then Alabasta.
No, not even Alabasta. They still have to go through Drum Island.
Yeah, right? Whiskey Peak. Yeah.
Whiskey Peak. They have all these other things before they even get there. They have to.
Will they even do Alabasta then? Because that seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Alabasta will be season three, if anything. Yeah, I don't think it will happen in season two.
Because season two would be all what we just discussed. Because can we say who the next Straw Hat Pirate is right away?
I want to say no, because like a lot of the listeners on this podcast probably haven't seen the anime. Okay. So let's hold off on that.
So eventually they're going to get more pirates on their ship. So they have to do all that right before we get to Alabasta. So there's still a lot. I guess still a lot of contact. But also being one of the highest rated shows on Netflix, also in the same pool as Stranger Things and Wednesday doing really well on that caliber, I feel like Netflix will give them almost like an unlimited budget for them to go free reign and do more episodes, maybe even like 24 episodes or 12, however they do it per season now, instead of just the limited eight. I think the limited eight was just for them to showcase to see what they can do.
Yeah.
And now they've tested it. They can do really well.
I would agree with that.
But the thing is, they did really well, they might want to keep it at eight, because they're like, oh, eight works really well. And there's like always like scheduling and stuff like that they have to go through. So I'm curious how they would do that. I don't know. We'll see. Who never knows? We could have like 20 episodes next season. And that'll just be crazy.
My only gripe with Stranger Things is that the kids were phenomenal. But the reason why you love them is that they were intelligent, really well actors that were kids. But then they grew up and you kind of missed out on like, oh, they could have had more seasons if they were kids and you could develop the story a little bit differently. But as you saw, you know, they got older and then, you know, things change in the storyline. I feel like that's going to be the same with One Piece. With the anime, obviously you don't age, only the voice actors age, and they've stayed consistent, which also is a great thing to know is that as far as I remember, it's always been the same voice actors for the past 20 years in the anime. So I think that's a testament to their success.
But I think they'll be okay, because with Stranger Things, these kids were like 11 and 10, and you can tell somebody having a growth spurt and looking very different from that age. But these guys on One Piece are already adults, right? Like with enough makeup and stuff, they could look young for quite a few seasons. I mean, Zach Morris was a teenager for about 30 years.
Okay, makes sense. Okay. Yeah, hopefully they kind of do a good job with that.
Yeah, I think they'll do okay. Also, we're not covering Stranger Things. We're off Stranger Things now. We're not about that.
Yeah, we are. So, I regret nothing.
So we will not be covering Stranger Things, unfortunately. But yes, One Piece and Wednesday are our two legit go-to shows for Netflix, and I think they're doing fantastic, and I can't wait for more seasons. It's going to be really, really cool.
I like this comment here. It's like, I'm not sure if I can handle another 25 years of One Piece. Hey, man, don't worry. It's only going to be 17 more years.
God damn. Oh my God, that's crazy. But I love the fact that people who are not privy to the anime know about it. It's cool. I like that. People understand what a Straw Hat is. People understand what a One Piece is, right? I don't know what a One Piece was. I thought it was like a swimming suit. I was like, why are they all trying to find a One Piece swimming suit? Like, I didn't understand this story. I still don't know what a One Piece is. It's weird because I think what happens is Goldie Rogers says, you can find all my gold in One Piece. And I think that's where they came up with the name The One Piece. But I have no idea.
It's treasure, man. It's The One Piece. It's a treasure at the end.
I know. But right now, no one knows what it was. And the joke is, like, the treasure is the friends we made along the way. which is the goal of our show.
Yeah, even if we get that, I'm okay with it. Like, this show has been such a ride for most of my life. Like, I don't care how it's going to end. I'm just hyped for it. Like, I'm going to be sad and depressed when the anime and the manga actually end, because this was such a significant part of my life, like, even to now. Like, it's like losing a part, like a family member almost. So I'm going to be so sad when it goes away.
We're going to throw a huge party when that happens. We're going to do our own banquet. Sorry.
Dude, I will freaking get a convention center and we'll make it happen, all right? Like,
No.
That's going to be a boat, day to celebrate.
Let's get a boat. Let's get a boat and we'll watch it on the boat.
We're going to need a lot of boats.
All right, guys. Salam Nerds One Piece Party on a boat. Like, comment, share. Subscribe for tickets.
Inshallah one day.
Oh man. All right. Steve, thank you so much for being on the show and breaking down all of the fun One Piece stuff. It was fun for us. I'm hoping it was fun for you. I know you love One Piece like crazy. So hopefully you got to come in here and share what you love and the audience got to enjoy it. A lot of people have said they liked our One Piece stuff. I went to Canada. To Edmonton, and people were like, when are you dropping the next episode? So people really liked our One Piece episode. So it's a testament to you, Skeev. You brought in a lot of knowledge.
Give out double fruit cupcakes.
This is a great idea. We're going to give out double fruit cupcakes on the One Piece cruise/finale thing we're going to do. It's going to be great.
That will be great. Dude, I would love to be such a big podcast where we can just throw parties and people would come and we can just hang out with people who love the same things we do. That's where I want to be. Like, I don't want to make a lot of money. I just want to be popular enough and have a community big enough where we can throw events, people will show up, and we can just have a good time. And that's where I want to be. That's our One Piece.
That's definitely your guys' One Piece.
Absolutely.
Thank you guys again for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it. As a longtime listener, I could hear my voice when I like go to the gym and listen to the podcast version of it. I appreciate it. Thank you guys again, and I wholeheartedly wish you guys the best of luck on other future episodes.
All right, man. Thank you so much, Keith. Well, I'm sure we'll definitely have you back for something or another. We can't just let you go. We can't just wait for another One Piece. I'm sure there's other shows you watch that you could probably come back on. But I do want to say, to our viewers, don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe. And happy Thanksgiving or Indigenous Day or Thanks-taking or whatever you want to call it these days. But we hope whatever you do, enjoy your time off. We will probably be back on Friday with The Bachelor. Probably not. We might be a little delayed with The Bachelor because it's Thanksgiving weekend and stuff like that. So I don't know. But we will do a Salam weekly episode, hopefully this week, where we will talk about some of the stuff that's happening in the media right now. A lot of actors are being silenced, and we're going to go get into that. So until next time, guys, Salam Nerds.
Peace.